All right, Shavuot say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf 100. And we are picking up on Tzadik Tesla with Bays at 99B. And we are picking up 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. Last word on the line, V'ika. We'll say our shir this morning is dedicated. Actually, the shirim this month are dedicated by Yona and Shushi Ehrenfeld in commemoration of the upcoming yard site of Yona's grandfather, Reb Gedalia ben Yaakov HaKohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. All right, Bosse, let's begin. So we're trying to figure out, we left off yesterday with trying to understand some definitions in Megala Panim B'Torah and Apikores, just defining our terms. So the Gemara said, V'ika demas nila seifa. Others explain, others interpret this based on the Seifa. Megala Panim B'Torah. What does it mean if somebody's Megala Panim B'Torah? Rav V'Rabbi Chanina Amri, Zeh HaMevaza Talmud Chacham. So Megala Panim B'Torah refers to someone, ultimately again, who embarrasses a Talmud Chacham, degrades a Talmud Chacham. Rav Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Levi Amri, Zeh HaMevaza Eschaveh Rabifnei Talmud Chacham. Rav Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Levi says, no, Megala Panim B'Torah means someone who embarrasses his friend in front of a Talmud Chacham. Bishlam the man damra mevaze talmud chacham atzma megala panim b'torah havi mevaze chavero excuse me bishlam the man damra mevaze talmud chacham atzma megala panim b'torah. So both I understand according to the opinion who says that somebody who degrades the talmud chacham himself, that's called megala panim b'torah. Then mevaze chavero b'fnei talmud chacham havi apikoris. Then someone who embarrasses his friend in front of a talmud chacham is called an apikoris. But if you hold that embarrassing your friend in front of a Talmud Chacham is the definition of Megala Panim B'Torah, then Apikores Kigon Man, then what is an Apikores? Rav Yosef Kigon Hani Da'amri Mai Ahanu Len Lan Rabbanon. So we'll say, what would be an Apikores? An Apikores would be someone who walks around saying, what good are the rabbis? What good are the rabbis? Lidido karu, lidido tanu. All they're doing is they're learning for themselves, they're teaching for themselves, they're self-serving, they do nothing for us. That's an apikoris. People who think that the rabbanim are self-serving, that's epikarsus. Amalei Abaye, hai megala b'torah, namihu. So we'll say, ultimately again, Abaye says, this is also megala panim b'torah. In other words, a person who thinks that tamidi chachamim, that rabbanim through their Torah, do not contribute anything to greater society, that's also megala panim b'torah. Tichsev, im lo brisi yomam v'layla, chukos shamayim v'aretz lo samti. Now, Bosse, what that pasuk is teaching me is, were it not for the Torah that is learned by the rabbanon, ultimately, again, the earth would not exist. In other words, the rabbanon are mehane, they benefit the entire world through their learning. Amrav nachar ma'yitzchok, mehachana mishma minoshenemar, v'nasasi l'chalamakom ba'avuram, elo, kigom diyosif kamerabe. So, Bosse, so what would be? What would be a Megala Panim B'Torah? Kigon diyosif kamei rabbi, like somebody who's sitting in front of his rabbi, learning in shir. V'enof alei shmaita b'duchta achrisi. And in the shir, the rabbi mentions something that they learned elsewhere. V'amr, and the Talmud says, hachi amrinan hasam. Oh, we said that earlier. We said that before. V'lo amr hachi amr mar. As opposed to the Talmud attributing the teaching to his rabbi, he says, this is what we learned earlier. So the Gemara says, Rava amr, Rava says, Kigon hani debei binyamin. Kigon hani debei binyamin asya. Do amri, mai ahani lan rabbana. So we'll say, what's a Megala Panim B'Torah? Like those in Bei Binyamin Asya, like those of the house of Binyamin the doctor, who went ahead and said to Amri, mai ahani le rabbanon. What good do the rabbis do? Right? What good are the rabbis? So most like, you see again the ongoing idea of Megala Panim B'Torah are those who disparage the worth of Talmidei Chachamim. So what happens? Why are the rabbis worthless? Top of Kuf, me'olam lo sharulan urva, they never permitted for us a raven, v'lo asrulan yona, nor did they ever prohibit a dove. Now what does that mean? That what they used to say in the home of Binyamin Asya, Binyamin the doctor, is what good do the rabbis do? The rabbis never really innovate in any way. Meaning they don't teach us anything that we could not have known on our own. It's not like they ever permitted us to eat a raven, or they ever said that a yon or the dove is asra. Amazing how that lines up with that last week's parasha. To which the Gemara says, well, say, based on this, Rava, kihava maisi trifta, the baby yaman kame. So therefore, I will say, Rava, whenever again there would be a treif, an animal with it that was a potential treifa, that would come from the house of Binyamin, kihava ba chazi be time of lehetera, Amaluch techazu dekasharina luchu arva. Whenever again Rava would see the animal, and there would be a reason ultimately again to permit the animal, even though again others would aser the animal, so Rava would say, "You see, I've just permitted for you a raven." In other words, I've taken something that could have easily been deemed aser, and yet what? And yet what? I made it mutter. When he would go out and see some reason to aser it, and as I will say, when something looked mutter, but ultimately again he would say, he would have to say that it's aser, you see that I prohibited to you the yona. Okay. Rapapa Amar, Rapapa says, what's another example of Megalapanamator, another definition of Megalapanamator? Kigon to Kamar, Hani Rabbanon. Rapapa says, like people who say, those rabbis. Right? So Rapapa says, you see the idea that Megalapanamator, and again, this is hard because we live in an age where it's very en vogue to go ahead and kind of take pot shots at authority in general, meaning pretty much no authority today is really respected, and more than that, it's almost like there's a concerted effort to undermine authority. And okay, it might have started with political authority, but it certainly trickled in to religious authority. Sometimes that diminished respect for authority is deserved because of mistakes of people in high places. But at the end of the day, without respect, at least for us, without respect for Chazal, then ultimately, again, it undermines our entire system. So if someone goes in and says, Hani Rabbanon, those rabbis, like in a dismissive fashion, supposed to say, listen to this, Rapapa Ishtali, Rapapa one time was involved in a heated discussion, and he forgot himself. And in that moment when he forgot himself, Va'amar Kigon Hani Rabbanon, he made that statement, referring to Chazal, those rabbis, and what happened? Ve'isev Batanisa. He fasted. He undertook a tainus for himself because he felt that he had been disrespectful to the honor, to the covenant of Chazal. Incredible. Levi bar Shmuel bar Afuna bar Chiya, havu kamitkini matpechos sifrei de Rav Yehuda. So we'll say Levi bar Shmuel and Rafuna bar Chiya were one time fixing the mantloch. The mitpachos sifrei, remember again, they used to have scrolls. So they were one time, I don't know, maybe it was after Yamim Noron, right? They were changing back the mantloch, whatever they were doing. And Rav Yehuda was there. Kimato Megillas Esther, when they came to the scroll of Megillas Esther, Amri ha Megillas Esther lo bai mitpachos. They said, meaning this was Levi and Rav Huna, said, oh, Megillas Esther doesn't have so much kedusha, and therefore it does not require a cover. Amr lohu. Rabbi Huda says, now Rabbi Huda, who was there, and Rabbi Huda, remember again, was the Rosh Yeshiva. Right? So they're saying this, they're essentially making this declarative statement in front of Rabbi Huda, as opposed to what? As opposed to asking the question. So Rabbi Huda says, it appears to me that this will also be a form of apikorsis, meaning being so arrogant that you make decisions in the presence of your Rebbe without first consulting. Without first consulting your Rebbe, is also a form of apikorsis. Rav Nachman says, Zah kori rabbo bishmo. We'll say, what's apikorsis or megalapan b'torah? Someone who calls his Rebbe by his first name. Da'am Rabbi Yochanan, mipnei ma'ne'anash Gehazi. Why was Gehazi punished? Mipnei shakara l'rabbo bishmo. Because he called Eliyahu, Shinemar, Vayomer Gehazi, Adoni HaMelech, Zosa Isha, V'zebina, Asher Hechia Elisha. Gehazi referred to Elisha by his first name, and therefore again, ultimately again, he is punished. Yosef Rabbi Yirmiyah Kamed Rabbi Zira, V'yosef V'kamer. So Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting in front of Rabbi Zira, and he said the following, Asta HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lohotzi Nachal Yibiz Kachi HaKadoshim. We'll say, this is actually quite a beautiful Gemara. In the future, the Ribono Shel Olam is going to cause a stream to come out from the Holy of Holies, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Beis HaMikdash. Va'alof, and by the sides of that stream, kol minei megadim, all types of beautiful things, delicious things, delicacies will be growing. Type now again, it's referring to different types of fruits. Rashi says, kol minei peros mitukim, all types of sweet and delicious fruit will grow on the banks of that stream which comes out from the Holy of Holies. Shneamar va'al hanachal ya'ale al swaso mizeh umizeh. Kol eitz machol lo yibol aleu v'lo yitam periola chadashav yivkar ki meimav min hamikdash heimayotzim v'ayah periola machol v'aleu l'tshuva. So we're going to define this pasuk. Amalehu Saba. So we'll listen to this. So Rabbi Yirmiyah is sitting before Rabbi Zeira, and Rabbi Yirmiyah is darshaning this. So what happens? There was an old man in the audience, and the old man said, "Yasher, Shkoyach. He gave him a shkoyach. So the old man gave him a shkoyach. V'chin amar Rabbi Yochanan Yosher. V'amar li Rabbi Yirmiyah the Rabbi Zeira. Ki I gav nemichsi apikarsa. So Rabbi Yirmiyah said, we'll say, so Rabbi Yirmiyah is wondering, is this apikarsus? In other words, we'll say, if a great person is saying something and someone of lower stature says, well, good job, shkoyach. Right? So meaning, is that considered to be a demeaning statement? Now, obviously, the person is not actively trying to demean, but it's almost like a person of a lower stature does not need to give his seal of approval on the words of a person of a higher stature. So, I mean, a person wants to say, thank you for that. That's what, but Yasher means like, shkoyach, you did a good job. So Rabbi Yirmiyah was asking, is that considered to be a form of disrespect? Amarle. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Zeira said, no. Hai siu kam sayale. No, it's not a form of disrespect at all. He's both, that shkoyach, is a way of bolstering and solidifying and reinforcing what you're saying. Rather, again, if you have a question about something, about whether or not a particular response is appropriate, here's the question you have. Listen to this, my son. Rabbi Yochanan one time was darshaning. And what happened? What did he darshan? Listen to this. When Mashiach comes and the Beis Hamikdash is going to be rebuilt, Yerushalayim is rebuilt, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring large precious stones that are 30 amos by 30 amos. It's big. 45 feet by 45 feet. V'chokik bohem eser barum esrim. And the Moshe is going to hollow out in those stones entrance ways that are 10 by 20. Uma'amidan b'shar Yerushalayim. And those will become the gates, the entryways into Yerushalayim. So we'll say the entryways of Yerushalayim in the Messianic era will be hollowed out from precious stones. Shnei Amar, v'samti, quoting over here, the Gemara quotes from Yeshaya, v'samti kad kor shim so sayich u'sharayich la'avne ekdach v'chol gvulech la'avne chefetz. Likleg alav also Talmud. So we'll say there was someone sitting in the shir who made fun of this. So we'll say, you know, Likleg, you know what that lashon of Likleg is? Likleg is like that sarcastic, cynical moment, right? Like that disparaging, cynical moment where you think you know better than what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. So, Ligleg Alav also Talmud. Amar, what does he say? Im hashta kebe asa detziltzla lamashkechinon kulehai mashkechinon. If right now, Bosai, you can't even find, so Talmud says, right now you can't even find a precious stone the size of a small egg. Kibayasa the tziltla means the egg of a small bird, of katan. So if you can't even find a precious stone the size of an egg from a small bird, so what's going to happen? You're going to be able to find these 30 by 30 amos stones? That's ridiculous. Watch this. One day this Talmud was traveling by boat. He sees the malachim chiseling out large stones. Now this is happening on the open sea. Maybe they're getting it from the seabed, whatever it is. But he sees the malachim ultimately going ahead and chiseling out these stones, large stones. Amar lehu, hani leman. So he asked the malachim, who are these stones for? Amri, us, Mosei, we're on Kuf Amud Aleph, second wide line, of the widest lines. Amri, asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahameh b'shar Yerushalayim. So the malachim said, these are the stones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately is going to put up at the entranceway into Yerushalayim. So we'll say what happens. He comes back to Shir. Again, he went ahead. He comes back to Shir the next day. Rabbi Yochanan is giving the Shir. Amrali, Rebbe Drosh, Ulechana Ledrosh. Rebbe, you know, you're a good Magid Shir. Right? You should darshan. I think you have a future in teaching. Right? You should continue to teach. You're doing a great job. Kishem Sha'amarta, Kachra Isi. Because just like you said in the Shir about the Malachim, right? Large stones. I saw it with my own eyes. Once I get ready for this response. Amar lo reka. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you empty one. Im lo ra'isa lo ha'amanta. And if you wouldn't have seen it, you wouldn't believe it. Melagleg al divrei chachamim ata. You are someone who disparages the words of sages. Yoiv ba'inei ve'asa gal shalat samos. literally he set his eyes upon him, and he turned into a pile of bones. So we'll say, remember again, we had a number of Gemaras like this, of people turning into piles of bones. We saw the Maharal, the Marsha. Whether it's literal that he died, or whether it's just that he forgot his Torah learning, or whether it's just that he was pushed out, we'll say the message over here, and again, the Ben Yoyada has a whole piece also, what exactly did he see on the open seas? The details we're not going to get into right now, but the idea is, I was saying, that if a person wants to go ahead and accomplish things in Torah, then a person has to have Amunas Chazal. And Amunas Chazal means, I believe in what Chazal tell me, even if I don't always understand it, or even if at times I don't rationally agree with it, but I go ahead and I put my faith in Chazal, because the Ribbono Shel Olam has put his faith in Chazal. And I believe it, even if I can't see it, and I believe it, even if I can't understand it, and I believe it, even if it offends my contemporary sensitivities, I believe it, because ultimately, again, I will say, that is the foundation stone of our Yiddishkeit, it's the foundation stone of our religion. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm very happy that you believe it, now that you see it, now that you saw it, that's great, but that's not emunah, that's not Yiddishkeit, that can't be growth in Torah. Incredible, my son. The Gemara goes by to Mesve, Va'olech eschem komamius. The Pasuk says, I will take you upright, Teret Yisrael. Rabbi Meir, Amar Masayim Ama Kishte Amos Shaladam. Rabbi Yisrael, we'll say, so Gemara is talking about over here in the Messianic era. In the Messianic era, Kavish Baruch Hu will take us upright, Teret Yisrael. So the Gemara understands, what does it mean, Kavish Baruch Hu is going to take us upright? Rabbi Meir says, in the Messianic era, we're going to have even a taller stature. What's the taller stature? Masayim Amma. Every person is going to be 200 Amos tall. Kishte Amos Shal Adam Arishon. Like two, Adam Arishon was 100 Amos tall. Twice that of Adam Arishon. So most of memory, we saw this Gemara earlier. So this idea of height, of extended height in Yimos HaMashiach, doesn't represent as much physical height, although the Gemara is going to ask as if it does. It represents spiritual height. The idea is that in the Messianic era, we are going to be endowed with additional spirituality that's going to double our height. Twice the height of Adam Rishon. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kuf Amma, can I get Heichav HaKos? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we're not going to be 200 Amos tall, 100 Amos tall. Shnei Amar, Asher Baninu, Kinetim, Migot, Migudol, Benu Oreyem, Benosinu, Kazavios, Michutavos, Tavnes Heichav. So we'll say, this is a kasha. Because what did we just say before? Rabbi Yochanan just said before that what? That when Mashiach comes, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to hollow out precious stones to make entranceways for Yerushalayim, and what's going to be the size of the entranceway? It's going to be 10 by 15. So obviously, again, if we're 200 amos tall, we're not going to fit through. To which the Gemara says, Kikam Rabbi Yochanan, Lechavi Debe Zeka. We'll say Rabbi Yochanan's dimensions, we're talking about the windows. The windows in the gates. The windows in the gates will be 15 by 20. But ultimately, again, the entranceway themselves will be much larger. Okay. My Va'aleo L'Trufa. So we'll say beforehand, the Gemara quoted the Pasuk from Yechezkel, that spoke about that stream that will come out of the Kodesh Kadoshim, that stream that will come out of the Holy of Holies. That's why beautiful fruit trees growing on its side, when Mashiach, on the banks, when Mashiach comes, and it says, its leaves, olim l'trufa, literally, which means, its leaves will heal. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, "May va'ali l'trufa." Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdumi v'Rav Chista chadamar lahatir peh shalmala. So we'll say one said that its leaves will literally heal the upper mouth. That if somebody is mute, if someone is unable to talk, if he eats the leaves, ultimately again they will give him speech. V'chadamar lahatir peh shalmata. We'll say others say it comes, it'll heal. The lower mouth. We'll say the lower mouth is a reference to the womb of a woman. That if a woman is barren, if she is unable to have children, ultimately, again, these leaves will help her with fertility. Itmar Chizkiya Amar Lahatir Peh Ulmin. So Chizkiya said that the leaves will help to cure the mute. Bar Kafra Amar Lahatir Peh Karos. And Bar Kafra says it will help to heal infertility. Rabbi Yochanan Amar L'Trufa Mamish. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's Mamish for Trufa. What does that mean? My L'Trufa. Rabbi Shua Amar Rachmani Amar L'Toar Panim Shal Ba'alei Peh. The Rabbi said, these leaves will increase or enhance the countenance of Baal Peh. In this case, it's an acrostic, right? The idea over here is the Tawar Panim Shal Baal Peh, that when you eat these leaves, it will increase the shining countenance of the Baal Peh. You're able to say, who are the Baal Peh? That's not the people who talk a lot, right? The Baal Peh refers to Talmidei Chachamim. They're the masters of the mouth, because they've mastered their mouth, because they use their Koach Adib, or they use their speech ultimately for Torah. Darashav Yudik Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Simon, excuse me. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Simon, dashed in the following. Kol ha-mashchir panav al-divrei Torah ba'olam hazeh. Whoever blackens his face for Torah in this world. They both say, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Right? What does it mean, blackening your face for Torah in this world? The idea is that a person puts his physical needs secondary while making his Torah needs, his spiritual needs, primary. So the idea of a blackened face means a person who does not place primacy on his physical comfort or his physical needs. So what happens if a person does this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mafik zivuyav la'olam haba. The Ribono Shel Olam goes ahead and enhances his countenance in the world to come. So the Gemara says, Shene Amar, as the Pasuk says, Mar Eyu Kilavanon Bachar Ka'arazim. Amar Rav Tanachum Rav Chanilai, Kalamariv Atzmal Divrei Torah. It will say, ultimately again, anyone, it literally means anyone who starves himself for Torah. It will say, what it means is, anyone who makes himself starving for Torah, which means he learns all of the time. I'm starving for Torah. All I want to do is learn all the time. So the Gemara says, "Ba'olam hazeh, in this world, Hakadosh Baruch Hu masbi'a li olam haba." We'll say, which means something very beautiful. If I have an unquenchable thirst for Torah, an insatiable hunger for Torah in this world, so which means that I'll never be sated in olam hazeh. The Ribono Shel Olam allows me to be sated ultimately again in Olam Haba. Very beautiful thought. Shene Amar, Yirviyun Mideshin Beisecha, V'nachal Adonecha Sashkin. Gelser Abdimi Amar, Aser HaKadosh Baruch Hu Litin L'chol Tzadik V'Tzadik M'lo Omso. But we'll say, listen to this. In Olam Haba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give every single Tzadik M'lo Omso. Now both say, M'lo Omso literally means, Rashi says, M'lo Chofnav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tova. The Ribono Shel Olam is going to take his handful of good, and he's going to give that handful of good over to the Tzadik. So the Gemara says, Shene Amar, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, Ya'amos Lanu HaKel Yeshua Seinu Selah. It doesn't make any sense. How could the Ribono Shel Olam give his handful over to a person? Now, in this case, it's Olam Haba, it's going to be Mashiach, it's Olam Haba, could be a Neshama, or it could be a Mosa Mashiach, but the idea over here is, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu give his handful, God's handful, which presumably is quite large, and how could that be received ultimately by man? Supposed to listen to this. So he says back to Abaye, you really need to become more proficient in Agarta. Right? You're spending too much time in Halacha, you have to become more proficient in Agarta. The Amr Bar Rava, because they said in Eretz Yisrael Shmei, the name of Rava Bar Mari, Aser HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Litein L'chol Tzadik V'Tzadik, Gimel Meos, V'Asara Olamos. The Ribono Shel Olam in the future, Rabbi says, is going to give each Tzadik 310 worlds. As we'll say, all of this is a reference to the incredible amount of schar, incredible amount of reward that awaits the tzaddikim both in Olam Haba as well as in Yimos HaMashiach. Shnei Amar, Lahanchil Oave Yesh, Va'otroseim Amalei. Yesh Begematria, Tlos Me'ave Asara Havi. So we'll say, the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give the tzaddikim Yesh, and Yesh in Gematria is 310. Tanya, Rav Meir says, B'midah Sha'adam Modeid, Modedin Lo. We saw this concept in Maseches Sota. Rabbi Meir says, in the way in which a person conducts himself, so ultimately, again, that's how the Ribono Shel Olam conducts himself with him. In other words, there's this concept of divine reciprocity. The way I behave is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu behaves with me. This is the famous Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov says on the Pasuk, Hashem Tzilcha. So we normally translate Hashem Tzilcha as Hashem is your shade. Baal Shem Tov says, no, it means Hashem is your shadow. And the idea is, just like my shadow does whatever I do, so too the world is based on a concept or a system of divine reciprocity. What I put in is what I get out. The way I conduct myself is via HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately again gives me back. So the Gemara says, Dechsiv, as the Pasuk says, B'sa'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a'a Halcha Terivena Haga Berucha Akasha Biyom Kadim. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua, V'chi Ef Shalom Akein, Adam No Sin Male Umsola Ani Ba'olam Azez. So let's play this out. How could you have that divine reciprocity? Let's give an example. A person gives a handful of money to an ani in this world. He gives a handful of money for tzedakah to a pauper in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosin Mala Omsoli Olam Haba. So then you're going to tell me that God gives him a handful of schar in Olam Haba. How could that be? V'haksiv shemayim b'zeres tikon. The Ribbono Shel Olam's hand is exceptionally large. So ultimately, at the end of the day, how could it be? If I give a handful of tzedakah to the ani, Chodesh Baruch Hu gives me a handful of bracha back, but the Ribbono Shel Olam's handful is obviously too big for me to contain. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, listen to how beautiful this is. So the Gemara says, v'ata i'ata omerkein, eizuhi midir merubah. So we'll say, let's analyze this for just a moment. Which attribute of God is greater? Thank you. So Gemara says midah tov. So Gemara says midas tova meruba or midas paranos. In other words, both say when a Kadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam gives out schar midah tova and he gives out punishment midah ra midas paranos. Which one does God give out in greater amount? Amud beis havi omer midah tova. They all say we know that midah tova is meruba me midas paranos. We know that midah tova, God's attribute of good, meaning brachos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come in much greater voluminous amount than paranos, than punishment. Dichsev, so Gemara says, I'm sorry. Have you on midah tova, meruv midas paranos, but midah tova, dichsev, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving out bracha, midah tova, so Pasuk says, Vaitzav shechokim imal, vidalse shamayim pasach. So we'll say, the Ribono Shel Olam commands from above, he opens up the doors of shamayim, Vayamter aleim man lechol udigan ashrayim nasan lamo. So we'll say, amazingly enough, when it comes to showering down bracha, the lashon of the pasuk is the Ribono Shel Olam opens up the doors and showers down the bracha. Interestingly enough, ubemidas pranosu omer va'arubos hashamayim niftichu. Right, ubemidas pranos ksiv v'yatzu v'ra'o bepigriyam. So we'll say, but yet when it comes to midas pranos, what does it say? Va'arubos hashamayim. We'll say, arubos means what? The windows. So interesting. When it comes to showering down bracha, the Ribono Shel Olam opens up the doors. When it comes to showering down paranos, unfortunately, din, the Ribono Shel Olam opens up the windows. What gets right? So again, the idea is obviously you get a lot more out of a door than you can out of a window. So from here, you see that the midah tov is meruba midas paranos. Furthermore, the Gemara says, midas paranos ksiv, vayitzu, pasuk over here, by Yishaya, vayatzu, v'ra'o bepigrei ha'anashim haposhkim. Haposhim ki tolasam lo samos v'isham lo sichve v'ha de ra'am mechol basar, and it says v'halo adam moshit etzba'o ba'or ba'olam hazeh miyad nichva. Yet we know that ultimately, again, if a person extends his hand in extends his finger in fire, he's immediately burnt. Ela kishim shino sinai kodesh baruch hu koach v'lesham mekabal paranusam. So we'll say the idea is. That when it comes to punishment, the Navi Yishai discusses this idea that the bodies are going to be placed in the fire. They won't burn. They'll just continuously suffer. A reference ultimately again to the punishment for Rishayim. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. In this world, if a person just extends their finger into the fire, the finger is automatically burnt. Yet the Pasuk says that ultimately the Rishayim will be burnt, yet their bodies won't get burnt. They continue to experience the pain. Rather, what do you see? Rather, what you see is, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Rishayim, the Koach, to be able to accept their punishment. So we'll say, see something amazing. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu increases the threshold so as to allow the Rishayim to receive their punishment in even greater measure, the Ribono Shel Olam gives us an enhanced threshold to be able to receive our brachos in greater measure as well. And therefore, again, when the Pasuk discusses the idea that if I give a handful in this world, so to speak, the Ribono Shel Olam gives me a handful in the world to come, even though the Ribono Shel Olam's handful is much larger than my handful, part of the schar that I get is somehow the ability to receive and retain the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though, again, that bracha comes in greater measure than I really have the ability or capacity to receive and retain. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Afakar B'Svarim Chitzar. So we're back to the Mishnah now. So remember again, Mishnah speaking about the people who do not have a chilek in Olam Haba. And one of those people, Rabbi Kiva says, is someone who reads Svarim Chitzonim. So we'll say, so what are Svarim Chitzonim? What are external Svarim? So the Gemara says the following. Tarna. B'Sifrei Tzedukim. But we'll say this refers to the books, to the works of Tzedukim. Rashi says, Shekofrim Bekel Chai. Right? Ultimately, again, who are the Tzedukim? To read Svarim, I will say, a people who do not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's interesting, in Hagos V'Tziyunim, he actually changes this a little bit. he changes it to minim and galochim, right? Non-believers and priests, which is interesting. But the idea is, you can't read the Sermon of people, ultimately, again, who do not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're going to see something very interesting that comes out from this. So both say, we're going to go on a little bit, but I'll tell you what the point that Gemara is saying is like this. What Rabbi Kiva was saying is, we understand that knowledge, I will say, is not just something that comes from the mind, but it comes from the heart, it comes from the neshama as well. And if the source is not pure, Rabbi Kiva says, you have to stay away from it. Because somehow, some way, even if the words look nice, or even if the words look non-controversial, if the source is impure, there's impurity embedded in the words. This incredible Yisur Rabbo said that inspiration and growth has to come from pure sources in this world. If the source is tainted, then by definition, even if the words look great, the ideas look beautiful, and even if everything seems to actually fit within the hashkafa of a Jew, if the source is tainted, Rabbi Akiva says, you can't have anything to do with it. To which this opens up an interesting conversation. Rav Yosef Amar B'Sefer Ben Sira Nami Aslam Mikris. Well, Rav Yosef says, we've quoted a number of times throughout our journey in Shas, Sefer Ben Sira. Who exactly Ben Sira was is shrouded in a bit of mystery. So some say he was a descendant of the Navi Yirmiyahu, and he wrote this Sefer. It was essentially, it was kind of like his own version of Mishlei. Just like in Mishlei, Rav Shlomo HaMelech puts together all these proverbs, all these sayings, all these little pieces of wisdom. So this individual Ben Sira lives during times of the Beis HaMikdash. Again, some say he's a descendant of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Ultimately put together this Sefer filled with sayings. Now, as we're going to see, some of them are off the wall, but some of them very much echo that which Chazal said already. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef says, you also can't learn Sefer Ben Sira. I'm really buying my time. So Rabbi says, why not? Why? Because we'll say, remember the interesting part is, the Gemara quotes Sefer Ben Sira. Right? We've seen many times where the Gemara quotes the Sefer. So Rabbi Yosef says, that falls under Sefer Chitzoni, and he can't learn it. Abaye says, why not? Ile mishum dichsiv bei lo sintosh gilgana meudne dilo alezo mashche lechavlo elo sali yasei benura ve'echol beitarte gritzim. So we'll say, now watch this. So Ben Sira says the following. Let's go back. Lo sintosh gilgana meudne. We'll say, do not remove the skin from the fish. So Ben Sira says, don't remove the skin from the fish, even by the gills, because you'll end up wasting the skin. Rather, what should you do? Roast the fish whole, and eat it in between two cakes of bread. Two cakes of bread. Rashi says over here, if you look at the end of that Rashi, lo sif shot gilidna meudne. So Rashi says over here, lecho bo shtei chalos, tavi lifton le shtei chalos. Just go ahead. So what does Ben Sira seem to be saying is, don't waste the part of the fish, right? Roast the fish whole. And again, even if you can't eat the fish with the skin by itself, you'll eat it in between two things of bread, and you'll be just fine. See, if you say because of stuff like that, imi pashti baraisa namiksib. The truth is, that's actually not an off-the-wall statement. We see that concept in the Torah. What does the Torah say? Lo sashchis es etza. Do not needlessly destroy trees. Or also we call that bal tashchis. So what Ben Sira seems to be saying is, don't be a wasteful person. If you go ahead, the skin is totally edible. Don't waste the skin, right? Roast the fish whole and just eat it in between two pieces of bread. Therefore, you capitalize on the entire fish. So if you say it's because of stuff like that, well, that seems to be just a straight lesson from the Torah about sashchis, to which the Gemara says, Imidrasha orachara. Furthermore, some interpret Ben Sira's statement as kamash molon, what Ben Sira was really saying was, don't engage in Bia Shalokidarka. Even though Bia Shalokidarka is mutter, one shouldn't do it. I will say, how exactly do you get from eating the fish with the skin to Bia Shalokidarka? So the idea, we're not going to be too ma'ayin into this, but the idea is that Ben Sira is saying, is don't depart from the natural order of things. The skin is there, the fish should be consumed in the normal way, which is with the skin. So too in other areas of life, do not depart from the natural order, the normal order of things as well. So ultimately, again, there's a Bia Kidarka. Don't, even though Bia Shalokidarka is mutter, don't depart from that norm. So maybe it's because that Sefer Ben Sira has statements like this. The Chsibbe, this is actually amazing. La'avia matmano shav. So we'll say, Ben Sira wrote the following. A daughter is a false treasure. What does it mean a daughter is a false treasure? Because what it means is that a daughter with her birth makes her father very happy. And the father thinks that when he has a daughter, he's won the jackpot. He's won the lottery. But then all of that simcha turns to incredible worry. What happens? So Matzah is a false treasure. Mipachta lo yoshin balayla. Once a daughter is born, a father never again has a good night's sleep. Why? The Rebbe said, listen to this. Bikatnusa shematis bata. The Rebbe said, literally when she's young, the father is, the Rebbe said, literally it means, father's never shall be seduced. What that means is, when she's young, the father is concerned she's going to be taken advantage of. Bina arusa shematizna. As she gets older, the father's worried about promiscuity. In other words, when she's young, father's worried about she's going to be taken advantage of. As she gets older, the father worries that she's going to make bad decisions. Bagra, as she gets older, shemalotinase. He's worried she's not going to get married. Nises, when she gets married, shemalo yulabanim. He's nervous that she's not going to have children. Hiskina, as she gets older, shematasek shavim. Ben Sira had me until this last one. Right? As she gets older, he's worried she's going to become a witch. Right? Meaning, apparently, again, older women resulted to kisho for a variety of different things. Havos said, this is, it's incredible. So Ben Sira says, you have a daughter? Say goodbye to sleep. Say goodbye to sleep. Because if every, and Havos say, anyone who's a father of a daughter knows that this is, maybe not for exactly the reasons that Ben Sira said, but when she's young, you're nervous at what's going to happen to her. As she gets older, you're worried about the decision she's going to make. Will she get married? If she gets married, will she have children? All these different things. So Ben Sira says, you have a daughter? No more sleep. So Gemara says, one second. That's not a bad thing. Hatni. What do I mean by that? Meaning, that statement is not a controversial statement. Chazal said that. Harabbanan amiru. The Rabbanan also said this. What did the Rabbanan say? I actually ola below schar below nekevos. The world needs boys and girls. Ashrei mi shebanav scharim. Lucky is the man who has sons. Oy lo lemi shabanav nekevos. Woe to the one who has gosiyavos. Everyone loves to jump on this and say, oh, Chazal are so misogynistic, they did this and that. So remember, if you do that, you're an apikores. But number two, that's not what Chazal are saying. Right? What Chazal are saying, Rabbos say, is that if you have boys, you worry much less about boys. You're going to get into trouble, they're going to break stuff, they're going to do all kinds of things, but at the end of the day, you're confident in their ability to take care of themselves. Father has a daughter, a father is nervous about that vulnerability of a daughter. So therefore, again, the Gemara says the world needs both. The world needs both. But you get a lot more sleep with sons, and a lot less sleep with girls. Ela mishum d'chsev. Rather, again, what's wrong with Ben Sira? Rather, because the Pasuk also, listen to this. Lo so'il davya b'libcha. Digavri kotel davya. So what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi's davya is daigo. Lo soil davya b'libech. So listen to this. Do not let worry overtake your heart. Digavri givrin kotel davya. Because strong men have been killed, have died because of worry. So what Ben Sira seems to be saying is, be careful what you worry about and how much you worry about, because too much worry, too much concern, could literally kill you. Could literally kill you. Come on, 1 second. That's also not controversial. Hashlama Omra. Shlomo Melech already said that. Daiga belev ish yishachena. Right? Shlomo Melech already said, Daiga belev ish yashchena, that ultimately, again, worry in the heart of man yashchena. What does yashchena mean? Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi, chad amar yishichena midaito. One says it means that you should uproot it from your heart. V'chad amar yishichena la'achirim. You should share it with others. In other words, don't carry your problems around by yourself. If there's something on your mind, something bothering you, share it with someone else. So therefore, again, that's not a controversial statement. And we shouldn't dichsiv, man rab misoch beisecha, v'lo hakol tavi al beisecha. So we'll say, rather, Ben Sira said, do not let everyone into your home. V'lo hakol tavi al beisecha. Do not bring everyone home with you. Man rab misoch beisecha. Prevent the public from entering your home, and don't let everyone into your house. So we'll say, what does this mean? V'ha Rebbe nami amra. But Rebbe said the same thing, disanya. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe said, Li'olam lo yarbe adam reyim b'soch beso. Well, say, a person should not let everyone in his home. Shene'emar, Yishreyim lehisro'eah. As well as listen to this. Because the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Yishreyim lehisro'eah, the more friends you have, the more potential you have for conflict. So we'll say there's this interesting like dialectic. On one hand, my home has to be open for Achmasas Archim. On the other hand, it can't be a free-for-all, right? You can't have everyone there for a variety of different reasons, but more what seems to be, what Ben Sira and what Shlomo HaMelech seem to be focusing on over here is this idea that you should even limit your friend pool a little bit, because the more social interactions you have, the more the probability, ultimately, again, for some type of conflict. So the Gemara says the following. Rather, Elam Yishum Dechsev, Zaldikon Kurteman, Avdikon Sachsichon. Rather, it's because Ben Sira wrote the following. That someone with a thin beard, right? So Kurteman, Rashi says, Zaldikon, Mi Shazak Zekano Daka Vitalusha, Kalusha. I will say, someone with a thinner beard is exceptionally wise, and someone with a thicker beard, right, Misha Sekeno Ava, someone with a thicker beard is a fool. So we'll discuss exactly what this means. The Nafach Bekise Bekasya Lo Tsachi. Rashi says, the Nafach Bekasya also means somebody who blows the froth off his beard. Again, we're going to discuss what all of these things mean. So again, just to translate it again, Zaldikon Kurteman, someone with a thin beard is wise. Avdikon Sachsichon, someone with a thick beard is a fool. The Nefach Bekasi Lotzachi, somebody who blows the froth off his beard, is not really thirsty. Amar B'may Echo Lachma, Lachma Savmine, someone who says, what should I put on my bread? Take the bread away from him because he's not really hungry. So what says, this is interesting, meaning somebody who blows the froth off his beer is not really thirsty, because if he was thirsty, then what? He'd just drink it. Someone who says, well, what should I have on my bread, is not really hungry, because if he was hungry, then he would just eat the bread. Man di isle ma'avarta b'dekine kuli amalo yachli. This is amazing. Somebody who has literally a part in his beard, a part, right, in his beard, right, you'll never be able to overcome him. What is it, you know, we'll say? Somebody who has a part, this is so funny, like the imagery is amazing. Somebody who has a part in his beard is someone who's always scheming. He's always scheming, right? He's always trying to plot. Someone who's always scheming to the point that there's a part in his beard, that guy is good. That guy, I mean, if he's scheming so much that Mamish has a part in his beard, you are not going to be able to overtake him. So the Gemara says, so Amar Rav Yosef, maybe Mal Yosef, so maybe it's because of things like this, because these seem to be nonsensical statements. What does this mean? Someone with a thinner beard is wise, someone with a thicker beard is foolish. Now, Bosai, the Pashtos, what Ben Sira is probably trying to say, is at the end of the day, don't judge by appearances. Somebody can have a nice, white, long beard, and they might look pious, but they might be foolish. Somebody might have a very thin, younger beard, and might be exceptionally wise. But at first glance, Ben Sira seems to be making kind of broad-based statements that don't seem to be based in anything. You know, the bread and the beer. So maybe it's because of statements like this that we say you should not learn Sefer Ben Sira. So Rav Yosef Rabosei comes to kind of reach like a middle position, which Rabosei seems to be adopted by Chazal in general. I'm Rav Yosef. The stuff in Sefer Ben Sira that makes sense, you should learn. The Gemara says, by inference, we don't understand, and the stuff that is nonsensical, you should kind of just let go by the wayside. So, for example, what are the things that are good in Sefer Mitzvos? We've already seen some of them, but listen to this. Isha tova matana tov b'chei kiri elokim tinas. It's actually a very beautiful idea. That a good wife, is a great gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chei yirei Elokim tinasin. Literally, in the chest of the yirei Elokim, she is given. So the idea if a man is zocha to have a good wife, Rabbi Osai, understand that that is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Isha ra'a, a bad wife, tzara'as labayla. She's like tzara'as. Be careful how you use these gemaras, by the way. So she's like tzara'as. Maita kante, first white line, what should you do? Yigashena mi beso. So what do you do with a wife who's like tzaras? Get her out of the house and ultimately be healed from the tzaras. So the Gemara says, Aisha yafa ashrei baila. Both say, if a man is privileged to have a beautiful wife, by the way, it's not a matter of midos. It's about her looks. If she's beautiful, ashrei baila, then praiseworthy is her husband, mispar yamav kiflaim. It was actually such a beautiful gemara. If a man is married to a beautiful woman, then ultimately, again, praiseworthy is her husband, because literally his days are doubled. What does it mean his days are doubled? Rashi will say on the left-hand side, in the shorter lines, about six lines, it says kiflaim, meirov hanach hashumike kiflaim. Because he gets so much pleasure from her. Because he gets so much pleasure from her beauty, it's as if his life is doubled, meaning he gets so much hana from her, it's as if he has two lifespans. Ha'avim einecha me'esh eschein. Shield your eyes from a beautiful woman. Pen tilokeid b'metzudasa. Lest you get ensnared in her trap. So we'll say, what ultimately, again, Ben Sira is saying over here, is be careful. It's very easy to get caught up in all the wrong things. And sometimes, again, just looking at things that I should not be looking at is the beginning, ultimately, again, of a downward spiral in life. So be careful not to cast your eyes on a beautiful woman who is not your wife. Who is not your wife, lest you get caught up in things you don't want to get caught up in. Al teit etzal baila limsoch imo yayin v'sheichar, ki betoar isha yafa rabim hushchusu. Do not, if there's a beautiful woman, do not get involved in drinking with her husband. Because many have been destroyed through the countenance of a beautiful woman. The idea, Bosei, is that if you end up drinking heavily with the husband of this wife, the husband of this beautiful woman, it can chas v'shalom lead to some type of immorality. So I will say, ultimately, again, v'atzumim kol harugah, and even great ones have died as a result of these types of discretions. Rabim hayu pitzei rochel. So we'll say, now these are other examples of Ben Sira. So, right, so rabim hayu pitzei rochel, the peddler, right? So we'll say, the rochel is the guy who goes door to door selling stuff. So what happens? The peddler often gets beaten up. So we'll say, why does the peddler get beaten up? Because sometimes the peddler often goes to people's homes. So sometimes a man comes home and finds another man in the house with his wife, and he suspects the worst. Now, meanwhile, the poor guy is just there, what? He's selling her whatever, but often he gets a good, right, a good beating from the husband, because the husband thinks he's up to no good. I will say, those who get involved in erva, those who get involved, ultimately, again, immorality, it's like a kinitzutz maverik echelis. What's a very profound idea? A little bit of immorality, could create raging fires of Avera. Sometimes I will say even the smallest spark of immorality, Mavir Gacheles, is enough to ignite the coal and get me into all kinds of trouble. Kikluv male of bein baseim ben basei male mirmo. Mone rabim misok beisachon. So what we saw before? Kikluv male of means it's like a chicken coop, meaning it's like a coop full of birds that ultimately, again, once you go out and you make one kind of small opening, they're all ready to fly out. One little spark of immorality has the ability to ignite a great fire. We'll say one more line and then we'll stop. Mane rabim misoch besecha. Prevent the public from coming into your home. Velo savi, velo hakol savi besecha. Don't bring everyone into your home. Rabim you darshei shalach. We'll say this idea is that a person has to be careful about who they allow into their home, what influences they allow into their home. We'll say, listen to this. Rabim you darshei shalach. I will say, you should have a lot of people who like you, right? A lot of people like you. Rashi says, Rabbi Yehudar Shei Shlomech, Rashi says, Shetayim v'sa'ayivim ha'kol v'afa pi kein. So I will say, you should have a lot of people who love you. Golei sotcha le'echad me'elef. But only reveal your secret to 1 in 1,000 people. In other words, have a lot of people who like you. Trust none of them. Meaning love them and they shall love you, but do not reveal your secrets. You could have 1 out of 1,000 people who you believe you could reveal your secrets to. And sometimes, to even her who sleeps by your chest, you should watch your mouth. Which I will say means sometimes a man has to be vigilant with even what he reveals to his wife. Now, I will say, now what does this mean? What does this mean? That ultimately, again, that a husband shouldn't share his secrets with his wife? I don't think that's what it's saying. I will say, I think what the Gibor Ben Sira is saying over here is something different. And I will say, it's like a convention. Sometimes people think that the sort of shalom bayis is like you share everything with your wife. Right? A good marriage is where you share everything. So I'll say, I think a person, I'm not a mental health professional. I don't even know if I'm good at marriage. I'm not sure. But I just tell you what I think is a yisod. You don't share everything with your wife. What does that mean? Something bad happens to you. You have a bad day. You have a bad day. Something goes wrong. So conventional wisdom is you should come home and you should talk about it. You should share it with your wife. So I'll say, understand, if something happened to you, something's wrong, and you're upset, and there's nothing that you could do about it, and nothing that your wife could do about it, and you just want to offload. So I'll say, understand, that's exceptionally selfish. Because then what I'm doing is, I have a desire to offload this onto, you ever see this, like people say, I feel so much better. I feel so much better. That's great, you feel so much better. And now, because you want, you know why you feel better? Because you just transferred it onto me. So I'm happy you feel better. You know, now I'm stooping even further. So a person has to know, in a loving marriage, a wife feels the pain of her husband like her own. To tell my wife something, because she could help me with it, because she can give me etza, because she could give me good ideas, is wonderful. But to share it just for the sake of transferring that all to her, so that now I feel better, let's go out. Right there, I feel better, we'll say, that's selfish. That's selfish. So should a husband and wife always have clear channels of communication? Absolutely. But to just unload for the sake of unloading and making yourself feel better and transferring that all to my wife, ultimately, again, that could be exceptionally selfish. So Ben Sira is saying, again, not that you shouldn't share your secrets with your wife. But again, even with she who is closest to you, be careful with what you share with her. If it's for the purpose of help, if it's for the purpose of Eitza, then by all means. But if it's for the purpose of just giving her the all so you feel a little bit better, then perhaps it's better not to do so. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up on Kuvah Beis tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I will be a vending come here at that time. Perfect. We'll shuffle stuff around. Perfect. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, welcome back. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. Good morning. Yes. You know what? I'm just running into. I'm already late for diving. It's all right. Wednesday, 9:30.
So you once said in one of your classes that people can go ahead and begin, but they don't get. And maybe the whole difficulty buying into that, because how can you, if you want to forgive somebody, keep holding on to that without forgetting?
You let go of the pain. I'm not angry at you. You're kidding. Did you ever try to forget something? No. You can. You can forget the pain.
You let
go of the pain.
Oh yeah.
You could forget things that people have done.
Maybe upstairs, you know.
People have a very hard doing that. Can take 20 years.
I don't think people can ever forget things.
Okay, so then how can you forgive them?
I'm not angry with you anymore. You have to come to Tanamuna.
So some can do it.
Some
can
do it. Absolutely. Amen. Thank you. I haven't thought of that.